I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about Rascal Does Not Dream of a Dreaming Girl, which was a recommendation by CJ in our Discord. But before all that, we were talking about marathons and my personal experience in one that I had. And if you want to catch part of that wider conversation, Patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast, $1 a month will get you access to that bonus content and more. Now, on to the meat and potatoes. Rascal Does Not Dream of a Dreaming Girl came out in June 2019. Producers for it were Aniplex, Tokyo MX, Kodokawa, just to name a couple. Studio for it was Cloverworks. It's based off of a light novel. The genres for it are drama, romance, supernatural, and school, and it ran for about an hour and a half. Now, this is a direct continuation from Bunny Girl Senpai.
Yes. Feel like any time passed at all.
Which was great. And one of the things that CJ had talked to us about in our Discord was it was a direct continuation that a lot of the questions or some of the questions that we had would be answered in the movie and that we would not be let down.
Or at least I wasn't.
I most assuredly was not. And since we watched it, honestly, in close proximity to actually when we watched the series, I think it just made it that much better. You know, we didn't have to wait several months or anything like that. But even if I had to wait a few months, like the series came out in 2018 and in October to December. Right. And the movie came out 6 months later. It's like, that's still not bad.
Yeah. It's in the grand scheme of things, it's actually remarkably fast.
Yeah.
So not upset at all.
And they were also able to really keep the quality for it too, I want to say.
Yes. Well, just curious. I know I told you my initial reaction, which probably makes a lot of sense, but I'm curious, what was your initial reaction?
To Shoko being real?
Yeah, I was going to say to the first 2 minutes of the thing.
My first initial reaction was, I gotta say, I thought you sounded Rick, but no, I held back. I waited for you to watch it. So that way, you can experience on your own. That was my first reaction. My hand started vibrating, started migrating towards my phone. I was grabbing it. It's like, must text Rick. I told you, but I did not. I was right.
I appreciate you fighting that urge as much of an inconvenience as I'm sure it must have been.
You know, I slapped my hand so hard. I slapped that phone out of my hand so hard and fast. It made the world spin.
Goodness gracious. No, it was one of those things that the entire time I didn't know what to think and who I thought he was crazy. I thought he was legitimately went nuts. And I'm very happy to see that I was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So with it being such a direct continuation, I'm really happy with, even if it had been several months, how the story honestly flows makes it really easy for you to pick up on what's exactly going on. Like at first it's like, has this like, okay, is this like after the events, or is this like kind of like an in-between point in the events? And you're almost immediately given the answer that no, this is directly after the events. So, you know, Kare and Sakata both still live in the apartment together. They're still trying to go through. She's still trying to move forward, gain the confidence to go to school. So you're still given that information. It's not like she was cured and she's going to school. It's like, no, she goes to tests.
It was definitely not a one-off.
Yeah. It's like, okay, well, obviously there's still these repercussions from what had happened. And I'm glad that they really showed that they made it seem.
They dealt with it.
Yeah. It's like, it's not like, oh, this one thing happened and it is what it is. And same thing with the marks on Sakata's chest. He had those three marks on there. And it's not like, oh, they magically healed up overnight. No, they're still basically bleeding. They're still fresh. They're still bleeding almost. And then,
did we ever figure out what happened with that?
Yes. So they were, when they were talking for Shoko, how she was explaining it was the reason why he's having those marks on his chest is because his heart is technically existing in two separate instances at the same time. And his physical body is having trouble dealing with that.
That's so confusing.
Right? But then again, there's a lot in the show that is confusing and dealing with that, still dealing with that quantum physics type of realm and reality. And one of the things that they also really kind of deal with too is they make callbacks to some of the things that had happened in the series, in the movie, to try and fill in or help you kind of like figure out what's going on. Okay, well, is it going to be like this? Is it going to be like that? Is it going to be another Lapless Demon type situation?
Yeah. But the cool part is they didn't go into it in the depth that the original show did. And I appreciated that because it wasn't a cookie cutter mimic of the show with just a new scenario. And I'm not going to lie, I kind of called it as far as the what was going on, why there was two hearts, why it felt ominous.
Oh, well, I mean, like, would you, so you were like watching it and you were like, this is going to happen type of thing while you were watching it? Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I was like, I bet they're leading up to that.
Oh yeah. 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 Oh, most definitely. Definitely. Like as soon as they,
if I noticed it, then you definitely did too.
Yeah. I mean, so I like how they kind of approached the time travel aspect of it, you know, and I'm using time travel kind of loosely because I don't feel like it's truly a time travel aspect or subject per se. I just want to say it's like kind of, I'm having difficulty trying to find the right words. Can you help me out here a little bit?
I'm trying to. The only way I can think of it would be something akin to confusion and misdirection, because the way it's very straightforward, but you have two entities living in unison with each other, right? And they're sharing a physiology that shouldn't exist. And you're also having a character who is time traveling, for lack of a better word.
Right.
It's weird because time travel really isn't what's going on. You know, it's more of a,
it's a byproduct. It's more of a byproduct because, and that's why I'm having difficulty trying to find the words to really describe it, because it's not, you're more so sending your consciousness in a physical form in a manner of speaking,
which isn't the weirdest thing we've seen in it.
True. However, I like the caveat where you had where you had to have someone to acknowledge your existence, truly acknowledge your existence for other people to actually see you. They played to that a little bit more where it didn't matter if he interacted with anything because he only technically sent his consciousness or something into the past. His interactions until he was actually noticed by someone or saw by someone had no bearing on reality as a whole.
Interesting.
Because in case you didn't notice, opens up the door, and while it opens up for him, it's closed for everyone else still.
I didn't.
And same thing when he picked up the phone. He picked up Rio's phone, and her phone was still sitting on the table after he picked it up. Because in how he's interacting with it, so in quantum physics, and pardon my ignorance on this, from my very limited knowledge, there's a belief that things aren't in existence or are not affected by anything until someone looks or notices it. So one of the things that they say is, like, when we were coming to the New World, the Indians didn't see us because no one had ever seen them before. And one of the chieftains or medicine doctors went to the shore mm-hmm. every day because he noticed differences in the waves and how they were moving. And he went there every day trying to see what was causing this. And every day he went out there and he focused and he stared and he would find till he was finally able to see what it actually was. And by the time he actually saw it, it was a ship that was basically getting ready to dock up on the beach by the time he was able to finally truly notice it. That's like,
imagine being that unbothered.
Right. So, but that's like the reasoning behind it. That's why they said, in order for you to interact with someone, in order for you to have interaction or make any changes or anything like that, you have to find someone that will notice you.
You know, that reminds me of a book I used to love. I still love. By Piers Anthony. It's called For Love of Evil. It's book number 6 in a 7-book series called The Incarnations of Immortality. So you mentioned that unless somebody notices you, all the changes you make don't work, right?
Yeah, and so in this book, doesn't matter what happens, he can't interact with that plane of reality. Like,
yes. And within the book, it's very similar, where unless you believe that he has the ability to do something, he doesn't. The second you stop believing he has any ability to fly, to manipulate, to do, he loses that.
You know what's kind of reminds me of a little bit? Shield Hero. Just throw that out there.
It's a fairly decent storyline, I would say.
Right. So, and that's honestly one of the things that also mirrors this. This is a really decent storyline. It's a really great storyline. The visuals still were great, and the music I thought was also really, really well.
Yeah. Like, I'm really happy. I feel like they had the same animators, they had the same producers, they had this. It was just an extra episode that they just decided to turn into a movie.
Yeah, basically. And with the explanation as to what was going on, why his heart was existing in two spots, why you saw Shoko as a child and then also as an adult at the same time, the whole explanations behind everything. It wasn't that
it just worked.
Yeah. And it's not that it was overly complicated either. It was explained or shown or described in such a way where it was easy for you to be able to understand, easy for you to consume, so that way you could understand easily what was going on. It wasn't something that you sat there, watched, and go, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, how does that work? Because if you're... Yeah,
it all made sense.
Yeah, because if... And honestly, that's where sometimes movies or shows will fall short. It's... You're sitting there, you're watching a movie, you're trying to figure it out, and there's just so much information, there's just so much going on that you just really can't comprehend it. That yeah. It loses its meaning. Now... One of the things that I liked is by certain changes happening or going into effect,
yeah.
It does create kind of like a ripple effect where your memories from that other timeline, I want to say, are basically downloaded into your mind. So that way you end up dreaming about them. So it seems more like a dream as to what happened rather than what actually did happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what they said. They said, I had a dream about this. And it was their particular memories that had happened.
Yeah.
And so you could say that any changes that were done or made all the way through, unless you made a real true conscientious effort or had a way to be able to remember it all as to what actually happened, it would be nothing more than a dream to you. Like the reality of it wouldn't really...
Deja vu of a sort.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they kind of solved that also in the end, which I really liked.
Me too. There were definitely a couple of moments in this movie where I was... Oh, I just
started to tear up.
Hit me in the feels, man. It just sucker punched me right there.
Mm-hmm.
It truly sucker punched me.
Yeah. No, there was there was more than a few for me where I was just like, I promised myself I'm not going to cry. And then I was like, damn it. Still not gonna cry.
It's like the tears myself. It's sweat. It's sweat coming down out of my eyes. It's sweat.
I, Well, I had to convince myself it wasn't like that, you know? I had to convince myself that, like, I've separated myself far enough from the show that I'm not connected.
Yeah, yep.
And then I also had to convince myself that all of this was just a dream. It's going to turn into nothing but a dream. And also, technically, not wrong.
Yeah, this is true. This is very true. I mean, there's a lot in here that you can watch and go, technically, you're not wrong, but technically, you're not right. It's like kind of both, where you're just...
Well, I got a question.
Just kind of you're going to enjoy. Okay.
The older chick, right? The older version of the
Shoko.
How old do you think she was?
Well, she was in college.
Okay, so she was old enough. Okay. Because I, for some reason in my head, saw something that said something to the effect of she was like from 7 year old as the child to jumped up to 11.
Right. So they showed the first initial at the very beginning. They showed basically what it was like 3 years in the past from that moment. Right. And then they jump forward to current day, which or what would be considered current day for Sakuta and Mai. Mm-hmm. And then you have the version of Shoko from the future. And the reason why I'm saying college is because all the information that's on there is like marries her true love. She's in college and when she marries her true love and everything like that. And she's trying to enact all this out really, really quick, relatively before, you know, everything, what she wants to have changes or anything like that. So that's why I'm saying college. Because you can tell, and from what she was saying, you can tell she was in college.
Yeah, but I don't know. There were a few times I thought that, like high school, she was going into college. She wasn't in college already, you know?
Well, even if that were the case, she would still, the future version of herself would be older than Sakuta.
True. Very true. But does that mean that the older version of her was a mental projection? Because I know that we're talking about one didn't want to change, the other one didn't have a choice. So were they sisters? Were they the same person?
The same person. It's just the older version of herself.
Then why did she have all those questions? Why did the older version of herself not know what was going on? I'm like, she knew where, like, the main plot points, but then the specifics didn't really come in contact. You know what I mean?
No.
Okay. So she had him stay away from a certain area to avoid being injured, right?
She didn't want... Right, yeah.
Okay. So if it was an inevitability where he's there because that happened, which would also indicate that she did it before because she was in the same timeline as her younger self.
No.
Right? No.
She could have just as easily found out what happened, where it happened, and the details behind it after it happened, because they already knew each other. Shoko and her knew each other. And from when she was talking about it, she was excited because she had a heart transplant and she was very excited to tell Shoko. And then she found out what had happened to Shoko from the details of everyone else telling her, because she knew everyone else at that age, not the older version, the younger version.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes a lot more sense now. Kind of.
Right. Well,
it's all timey-wimey stuff that we need Doctor Who to jump in here and fix for us.
It's really honestly straightforward. You have the younger version of Shoko, her version of herself, that she remembers everything from that time frame that happens then. You know that what happens to Sakuta because you are told what happens to Sakuta and why it happens to Sakuta. And what also happens to Sakuta, or almost happens to Sakuta, ends up happening anyways.
So it's like inevitable.
That, for that instance, for that portion, because of how he is, it is inevitable, which is why he also travels back to change.
So he travels back to change who he is?
No, he only travels back 4 days to change the events that transpired because of what happens. I'm trying to be vague.
Vague.
Because right. I want people to go. I want them to watch it. I want them to like go and get hit with that them feels at those points, man. I can't go into too much detail. I feel like it would detract from it.
Not at all. I mean, when the time traveling grandchildren comes up, which is actually very plausible here.
To a degree.
Because time travel's real.
To a degree. And
instead of just time traveling, you're mental traveling. But I have a question. At the very, very end, how the hell did everyone recognize everyone?
So when they talked about what had happened, what had transpired, so you're talking about like, how did the whole events transpire aside from that one change where that whole ripple effect, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That whole thing is just a possibility of what happened. So they said, if you do this, there is a possibility that this may happen, or there is a possibility that this will happen. And even though changes were made, very particular changes were made, events still transpired to move him towards that direction, or forward the direction that he inevitably encounters regardless. It's just the events that transpire, the circumstances around it, his overall story and dealing with it also change.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why he goes to high school, to that high school, obviously has changed, and they're not going to go and redo the whole series just for that, obviously, because that's ridiculous. Right.
That's season two.
But he also remembers everything, but it's all like, oh, it just feels like I had this dream. You know, this is a really crazy dream. And everyone just like kind of feels the same way. Man, I had this really crazy dream, and this is what my life was like, or this is what was going on. And that's how they kind of fill it in. But also at the same time, they allude to a little bit more information, or him being able to actually, you know, the connections and everything that are going on allows him to kind of delve a little bit deeper, go a little bit deeper for it.
That makes sense.
I guess.
I mean, in a weird way, it makes sense because they've all seen all the weirdness and they take anything he says at face value because of all the weirdness.
Right. So, I mean, there's a lot for this show. There's a lot to it. There's a
for
lot
a movie. It's got a solid background for a movie. And because it picks up immediately right where we left off, it doesn't feel like a movie. It just feels like, you know, another episode. So it gives you a little bit of closure, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it's not, in my opinion, it's not what it was meant for.
True. Yeah. And I believe the novel does continue on. Like there is more to it than just this. So I would be surprised if there wasn't. I mean, like it feels like there's a lot more story to be had.
Feels like there could be.
So, I honestly, aside from all of the, from everything that we already said, I don't have too much more to add, not without giving away some like major plot.
Yeah. Points. With key points.
Yeah.
That yeah, I tried to dance around some, but I bulldozed through some others.
Yeah, no, same here. But you know, there's a lot to the movie, a lot, and it is well worth the watch.
Oh, 100%.
It is well worth the watch. It'll smack you in the feels too at a few points, man.
You have some residual feelings from the series that this opens wide.
If you watch the series, just go straight into the movie. It's like as if nothing changed. And just like in this series, during the movie, at the ending credits, you had the voice actors for them doing the singing for it.
Yeah.
So, which was great. It was wonderful. I loved it. I mean, it was great. So,
100%.
Okay, before 100%. We continue to
100%.
So we don't keep beating the same drum over and over and over again. How about we go into a rating, sir?
Okay. So are we rating it as a standalone or as our whole thing?
How do you want to rate it, sir? On a scale of up to 10, how would you rate it?
What did I rate the show at? Do you remember?
No. Give me a minute. That was fairly good.
Okay, I can.
You can give me a minute. Give me a moment, and I'll be able to tell you. Yeah, I wasn't prepared for that. I wasn't prepared for you. I rate the last one. I just like.
Well, no, because this definitely makes it better. This definitely makes it So, but I don't want to be like, oh, I think it's a 6 when I had it rated as like a 9.4. Well,
what's your initial rating though? I mean, like for this, like how would you rate
it? My initial response is if it's heavily reliant on the series. If you didn't watch the series, the show this movie would not make sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So obviously I can't put it at a 10 that way, but I feel like it's got a good story. I feel like it's got solid science behind it at times. I want to rate it like an 8.
Okay.
You know,
no, that's perfectly acceptable. I will allow that, sir. I will allow that.
Mm.
As for me, before I pull up your rating, I'm going with an 8 as well, largely because it was such a great story, but I do feel like you really do need to watch the series to get the full effect and full understanding of it. So like those heavy points, those key points where it just really sucker punches you in the feel, unless you have the story, the background for the story, the investment into the original series for it, those emotional points will not make sense. And so you do have to watch the movie before you actually get into the, or watch the series before you get into the movie. So,
yeah, otherwise you will be lost. You won't be lost to the point of it doesn't make any sense, but you'll be lost as in it doesn't have any significant meaning.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's kind of why I'm like drawn back a little bit on it is like, I can't go to a 10 for that, but a lot of the context would be absolutely lost if you didn't watch the series. And so,
yeah, if you have no foundation, the feels wouldn't be nearly as impactful, and you wouldn't get the initial shock of, oh my God, it's real. He's not a schizo.
Or, oh my God, that just happened.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, I'm gonna go with a 9. Change it to a 9.
Okay.
Fair enough. And you said an 8, sir?
I did say an 8.
All right. Hang on one second.
Mm-hmm.
See here. How long ago was it?
I don't know. I want to say it was like month and a half.
Oh, no. It's been a lot longer than that, sir. Got it up right now.
Yeah.
Episode 166. You gave it an 8?
Yeah.
You gave it an 8 last time.
Nice. Okay.
Yep.
At least they remained consistent.
Yeah, no. It's a great series. It's well worth it. If you haven't seen it, I do recommend it. Now,
if you got the time, if you have the emotional availability, watch it. It's got a lot of in-depth science. It's got a fair amount of quirkiness to it that you kind of have to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Otherwise you get lost.
Yeah. It's one you certainly do have to watch. You do have to pay attention to. It's not something you can have on in the background. And the same could be said for the series too, honestly.
Yeah. Very true.
So next week, what is, my choice actually?
Oh, okay.
And
are you going to follow up
this? I'm following it up with Vinland Saga, which is, nice, hefty, heavy series. Looks pretty interesting. I think it's a looks pretty interesting. That's honestly why I chose it. That's the only reason why I chose it, because I thought it looked interesting.
Fair. But I'm just trying to. Okay, we'll see how it is. Indeed. I don't want to pass judgment. I don't want to. I don't want to have any undue expectations or lack thereof.
We'll see. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you feel like we got something right, something wrong, we missed something, did it too much justice, didn't do enough justice, feel free to reach out to us, featuredanimepodcast@gmail.com, at Those Anime Guys on Twitter, Featured Anime Podcast on Facebook. We have a Discord. Feel free to come in there, hang out with us, talk to us. We're always hanging out in there. Link for that's going to be in the show notes for you. You want to help us grow? You want to get some bonus content, a little bit of extra? And this month, we're going to be talking about High School DxD as a patron exclusive. You want to hear Rick's and my reaction on that and how Rick decides to rate it possibly 12 or 13 or 14 out of 10 for him? We'll totally have to see.
So far, the embarrassment has been up there.
Right. Patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast, $1 a month, get you bonus content. And if you want to buy yourself some swanky merch, shop.featuredanimepodcast.com. And until next time, I'm Jack.
I'm Rick. And we'll see you next time. Maybe. Possibly. If I'm not dreaming about it already.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.